WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. This is Rutherford Issues, hitting right at what matters most to all of us here in the heart of Tennessee. From Murfreesboro to Smyrna, Eagleville to Laverne, Leanna to Barfield, and everywhere in between. If it matters to you, you'll hear about it in the next hour here on Rutherford Issues. Now your host, Brian Barrett.
Right now the time, 10:15. I'm actually Scott Walker sitting in for Brian. And I've got microphone problems over here. Brian is actually having, he just finished up with surgery just a matter of minutes ago. Had his gallbladder removed, and apparently he's doing great after the surgery, and he'll be back on Monday here at the station. With me in the studio is State Representative Mike Sparks. And Mike, you brought quite a few people with you.
An entourage with
me. You always have an entourage.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go.
Well, we've got Keith Bratcher that's on the road board here in Rutherford County, and Dick Stegall here that's on the road board. And I also have John Phillips here, that, and we're going to talk about roads and a little bit of Jefferson Pike and a little bit about what the road board does. And John, sadly, had lost his son, Jonathan, a few years ago on Jefferson Pike, and we're going to talk about that project and how it's coming along and how it's such a need to get some improvements out there.
Now, Jefferson Pike is one of those roads that's going to be widened, right?
Yes. Yeah, they're in right-of-way acquisition phase now. TDOT, they were out with the bus tour, and Senator Jim Tracy and I were out there with them last week. They do a yearly tour of, we may go to Bedford County and visit some other counties with the tour, but we're out here at Bridge, well, shouldn't say Bridge over Broadway, but that's lack of a better term, you know. Big project out there, and it's a little disruptive, but at the end of the next 3 years, hopefully this project gets completed in time, and it'll really improve the efficiency of traffic right there, and which is greatly needed. It's one of the busiest corridor right there in the county, no doubt, one of the busiest in Middle Tennessee.
Now, from what I understand, quite a few lives have been lost on Jefferson Pike over
the
years.
Yes. Sadly, when I first got elected on the county commission, I had remembered over at Mona, and a lot of folks may know where Mona is right there, and a minivan had hit one of the poles right there, and the child was thrown through the windshield, and sadly, lost its life, and the mother, her life never was the same after that, and what I had heard. But I can remember I'd contacted Fox News and, Channel 17 or, the media outlets to see if they'd at least start covering Jefferson Pike. And I remember Chris Bungard, and I seen Chris the other day and with Channel 2. And Chris wanted me to come out there and do an interview. And I didn't want to go out there. I didn't want to be on camera. And he said, well, if you want to make a difference, you need to do the interview. You need to be out there. And so I went ahead and done the interview. And we showed the poll and all. And Chris kind of started helping us cover it, and you had commissioners like Will Jordan, Jack Black, and Keith Bratcher here, and Dick Stegall, and others that have been very passionate about that road to be improved. And, sadly, wheels of government turn slowly, as they say. That project, I think, has turned too slow, but TDOT's assured me the next 5 years that the whole project's going to be completed. That's what they say. We'll just have to see if it comes to fruition.
Now, John, looking back, I know you did lose your son on that roadway. How does it feel to know that this road's going to be improved now?
Well, I've for years been trying to get this road something done to it because it's so dangerous. I've been to many wrecks on that road. Actually, I've held two men's hands as they died. Not knowing that one day my son would get killed on this road. And, well, I knew for years and years and years this road was so dangerous. It is a cut through for people who live in Woodbury or even Sparta or other parts up that way. And there's so many subdivisions that have been built from, say, Las Casas to Smyrna. And there's thousands and thousands of people live out there. And this road, in the mornings when they go to work, it's unbelievable. In the afternoon when they get off from work, it's unbelievable. In the middle of the day, we have a tremendous amount of large trucks on that road. I'm talking about concrete trucks, gravel trucks, many, many, many garbage trucks that goes to the landfill. As you know, that road has no shoulder on either side, and there's no room for mistakes. If you make a mistake on this road, you're in trouble. And this is where so many of these people that has lost their lives made a slight mistake, but there's no room, there's no shoulder. And that's where it took so many lives. There's been many head-on collisions.
Tell us about your son, Jonathan. How old was he when he passed away?
My son, Jonathan, was, from the day he was born, he was like a shining star to us. A parent that loves their daughter or their son as much as we loved our son, and also we love our daughter too, Katie. And, he was always super kind to everybody. I always described him to someone that didn't know him as a very humble person. And you know our Lord loves a humble person. He was a student at, he went through the schools here. He went to preschool at First Methodist, and he went through to campus school here in Murfreesboro. And then he went to Central Middle School. Then he went from there to Oakland High School. He was a valedictorian in his class. Had about as many honors as you could get for a student. You can go out to his headstone now here in Evergreen in Murfreesboro, and we had many of those honors put on his headstone. As he graduated from Oakland, he wanted to get in Christian music. And so he chose Belmont University in Nashville. So as he was a student at Belmont, he just started his first semester. Well, he went down there. We always thought Belmont at that time was a Baptist college. We always thought everybody there was super nice and just that kind of people, you know. But he found out real quick that it was right the opposite, and a lot of them. So he began to work with the ones that was involved with drugs and alcohol his first semester. And his first semester, he gained so much respect from the people there. He was, right before his accident, he was voted in by his little group that he belonged to there as their chaplain. And that was very unusual for a newcomer there at Belmont. But as he took his first test from the first semester, as he came home, he didn't hardly make it home. I got off of work. I worked at General Electric for about 37 years before I retired. But as I was coming home, I heard lots of sirens. I mean, actually, I got home, then I started hearing sirens because I was feeding some calves out front. And I heard more and more and more. I knew my son was supposed to be home. Well, got up there, and they stopped me across 840 Bridge and wouldn't let me go any farther towards Smyrna. And make a long story short, we ended up in the emergency room, and they told us to go to this little room, and that was it. My wife is a physical therapist, and she's into, she knew what it was. So we went in that little room, but Jonathan, even laying there, he was, I don't know how to describe it, he was... It's like, Mom and Daddy's going to be okay. So, until this day, it's been several years, but until this day, his mama and myself, if you love your son, if you love your daughter, and you lose them in a wreck on a road that you've been trying to get corrected for years, and seen so many bad wrecks, it is so hard. Even to this day as we speak, It is unbelievable hard. I still get up in the morning and I talk to him.
Now tell us his last name again.
His name was Jonathan Andrew Phillips. And he was just a special person. It's affected his sister. It's affected his mama. It's affected me. Actually, we moved away from our home out there on Jefferson Pike for 8 or 9 years. Moved here in Murfreesboro, but we are back out there now. It took my wife that long to be able to go back. I would not let anybody touch the house. I go out there every day and sit in his room and just look around his things. But anyway, through the years, it's got better, but it's tough. You can talk to anybody who's lost a child. If they love that child the way we loved our children, it's tough. And I just asked all the parents to ask their young men and women, their sons and daughters, to be careful. Be extremely careful. It don't matter where you're driving, but especially on a road like Jefferson Pike. In front of my sister there on Jefferson Pike, there has been, I know, of 7 people killed right there in front of my sister's house. I'm not talking about in one wreck. I'm talking about in 7 wrecks. Even one lady there, her life was took when a wheel come off a trailer, and she was in her front yard, and the wheel hit this lady and killed her. And the wheel was going so fast, it ended up in my brother's yard, probably 400 or 500 feet away from her. But Jefferson Pike is a, and I really thank Mike, I thank Jim, Tracy, I thank everybody I've tried to talk to try to get this corrected. And this, for whatever what reason, this road is so difficult to correct. It's they've done a lot of things to it now that was helped by putting tags on poles and guardrails and everything else to show up at nighttime, and that's helped a lot. But still, this road needs to be corrected all the way from Smyrna to Las Casas, in my opinion, because it's so narrow with no shoulder. In front of my, we own a little place up the road in front of Jack Holbrook's on East Jefferson Pike. And there's probably been 15 or 20 wrecks right there in front of that place. They get off the shoulder and they can't get back up on the road. Even one of our county trucks that hauls garbage run off there one day and couldn't get back on the road. And I think they took out 4 or 5 of the trees there. Of course, it totaled the truck, but the Lord's with them. It didn't hurt them in. That was really good. It didn't hurt them. And I don't need to take up any more time, but let these men talk. I think I've talked enough.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today. Now, Jonathan would have been about 24, I guess, today, right?
Been older than that.
Older than that.
It's been several years since he got killed. But he was he's just a shining star as far as I'm concerned. And, of course, he's my son. But I know where he's at. But it makes it hard on the ones left behind, I'll tell you.
Well, again, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Right now, that time, 10:28. Now, we're going to talk about some of the improvements that will take place on Jefferson Pike. And I don't know, have any dates been set as far as when all these improvements will be finished?
Well, Scott, they're in right-of-way acquisition phase now. I know they're buying property from the landowners out front. Ernie Johns was, I shouldn't say he was a holdout, but in lack of a better term, he was a little bit of a holdout. He lost his farm to the Corps of Engineers years ago. And, Ernie's been on there with us talking about that, even though that was back in the 60s. That was always a sore spot for Ernie and many others here in Middle Tennessee that the Corps took their land and farms, and much of it really wasn't needed. A lot of it's high and dry, and they took more land than they need is what a lot of folks say. But Ernie did settle up with them, he said, the other day. So they're moving forward. It just takes a while. And, you got a situation like, John here and what he went through and others, you know, it's just countless amount of accidents out there. And I mean, we could go on and on about, I mean, I know a story, a guy just bought a brand new dump truck, was leaving out of there at Hoover, coming back into Smyrna before the bridge and flipped the dump truck over and killed him. And there's just so many times that road is blocked. And, you know, the argument I've made, whether it's with TDOT or when I was on the county commission, is if that road is blocked and Nissan's fixing to start up the production line, back then they would say it was like 36,000, I think, a minute if that plant was not operating. And, you know, you have a one zone down, you have three or four people that can't show up because Jefferson Pike's blocked. That affects, you know, production here. That affects economic issue then. But it's just – I'm not saying that they've drug their feet, but – Tennessee, we pay as we go with roads. We have no debt, which is good. But, you know, and I guess a good argument we made when you have a safety issue like this that, you know, maybe they should bond a project. I don't know. But it needed to be a priority, and it is a priority now. But sadly, you know, we'll probably lose another life in the next 6 months. But like John said, people, they need to make sure they're not texting and driving, make sure they're wearing a seatbelt, and be careful on that street.
Keith Bratcher also with us today. How does the road board fit into all of this?
Well, the road board, there's seven road board members. We all cover three county districts. Actually, Jefferson Pike is in my district from Smyrna to Las Casas. Actually, I live in the Las Casas community. I actually live right off of Jefferson Pike, so I'm well aware of I travel that road every day, so I'm aware of the shaping it's in and, you know, the accidents that occur out on Jefferson Pike. I know myself, I was first elected to the Highway Commission in 2002, and like John and many other constituents out there, that was one of the things, priority things that was for them. Of course, that is a state route. But over the years, I have, worked with the state reps and stuff, and especially Mike, since he came aboard as a state rep. He serves on the transportation committee for the state, and so they've been real instrumental in getting a lot of stuff done, getting this moved along as far as Jefferson Pike getting widened. In the last several months, they've done a lot of improvements as far as marking the roadway. I mean, if you've been out Jefferson Pike lately, I mean, the road is still in the shape it's in, but as far as how it's been illuminated as far as signs and arrows and stuff, I mean, it is, if you go out there at nighttime, it's better than it's ever been as far as having the road laid out. So it's been a lot of improvements. And then over the last couple of years, I've met with Mike and a lot of officials with the State Transportation Department on different occasions in different places, and Mike's kind of kept me in the loop with the process of, you know, Jefferson Pike coming along and where they've been at as far as getting things approved and kind of really getting the ball rolling as far as getting Jefferson Pike widened.
Dick Stegall also with us today, and whenever you're looking at a road like Jefferson Pike that people say needs to be widened, it takes a long time to get those wheels in motion to get the state on board with actually approving a project like that.
Yeah, it's true. That road's on the opposite end of the county from where I live and so forth. But I think everybody on the road board, we've always supported, and we made trips to Nashville and talked to some of the gentlemen down there years back just to show our support. Just like Keith said, it is a state road, but we still support doing something about that road and always have.
You know, Jefferson Pike, this whole project kind of reminds me of Halls Hill Pike with everything that happened out there. You had multiple deaths on Halls Hill Pike over the years. And then eventually, I guess the county, the state, and the city of Murfreesboro all got together and they decided it has to be widened. It's got to be done. They need sidewalks out there. And eventually it did happen.
Yeah, I'll
just kind of speak to that. I know that's not my area. That's Michael Anderson. That's his road board district. But I think back when Mr. Corbett was still the county engineer, I think that was the first. I know the city and the county went on some projects together, But I think that was the first project that the county and city did that the county overseen. Usually they would, I think the county just kind of contributed their part of the money, but that was a state rate, state aid road project. And you're right, with the city and the county, but I think that was the first project that the county, Rutherford County Engineering Department, kind of started for, you know, seen it through all the way.
Now, with Jefferson Pike, is the town of Smyrna going to help with that end of Jefferson Pike?
No, the state's taking care of that. I mean, so there's about a mile and a half of city limits right there to the bridge is where the city limits stop. But one thing that I wanted to share with you, Scott, and I may have shared this on the air about a year or two ago. I know I shared it at the State Transportation Committee meeting because one thing I like about Keith is very aggressive. He's got deep convictions for making a difference in this community. And, you know, he's also on the beer board, and they went after these beer market owners that were selling the drugs, the synthetic drugs, and Keith was a big advocate for pulling those beer licenses and really kind of put a big punch on those guys to kind of set them straight. But Keith's very really assertive on stuff. But Keith called me up, and he's like, Mike, he said, man, in front of waste management there, all the dirt, and he said it just gets so dirty and nasty. I'm getting phone calls, and Commissioner Black would often call too. And so I just drove out there one day, and I'm driving out there, and I see a street sweeper. And, you know, out there, a little machine sweeping up. And I pulled over and asked the street sweeper, I said, how often are you out here? And they act like they're out there every day, is the way they told me. Okay, I think Keith begs different with that. But,
Mike, for those listening not familiar with the area, kind of describe what you're talking about.
Well, we're talking about on that part where the landfill is. I mean, everybody knows where Mount Trashmore, I guess, is what we could call it. So, you know, it's right off of 231, just about a half mile down, going out towards the east there. And you can't miss it. But while I was out there, I stopped and talked to the street sweeper. I said, how are you out here? And they're like, oh, I'm about here about once a day. And I seen a truck on the side of the road. And I seen a holding a windshield. And I said, well, what happened to that truck over there? And the street sweeper said, I don't know, but there's one of the employees over there. So I pulled up and just said, you know, hey, you know, I wasn't even really that interested in the truck. I was more interested in street sweep, what's going on, and trying to get the road cleaned up. And I asked, hey, what happened to the truck? And the guy didn't really want to say anything. And he was working for the company. And I was, you know, kind of standing there, and the guy hollers. He says, hey, Mike, how you doing? And it was a guy I went to school with, Brian Galford. And Brian, I remember he was a big baseball star at Smyrna High School. And Brian had a cut on his neck. And it was the strangest thing. And he was bleeding at his neck there. And they had called for an ambulance. But he wasn't bleeding profusely or anything. But went over, looked at his truck. A rock went through that windshield. Went and hit the steering, hit the dash, hit the steering wheel, bent the steering wheel, grazed his neck, and went out the back window. And when I seen it, I was like, man, you're lucky to be alive. I mean, you're talking about a half inch or a quarter inch to that artery, and you'd be a dead man right now. But I tell you what, I was impressed. The Daily News Journal covered that and brought some attention to it, and also it is waste management. I hope I'm using the correct term.
I think it's Allied Waste.
Allied, okay. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, they went back and looked on the video, and I was impressed with the company. They didn't try to deny it or anything. They made it right. And what happened, one of those trucks was coming out of the landfill, and they're supposed to drive, you know, they hit over those rollers, the bumps right there that shakes the truck, gets all the debris and rocks knocked off of it. But the guy activated that curtain that's on there. Yeah. And when he activated when he was heading into the road. Well, when he did, a rock had flew off of it. And then that's when Brian was driving by, and that's when that small boulder, I guess it was the size of a softball, hit that. But he's lucky to be alive. And I thought, how odd is that? I just happened to be here, and this happened, and I'm back in committee 3 hours later ranting about this and telling the whole committee what was going on. And I was just so fired up because it was like, I was like, man, this is a guy that was almost killed just 3 hours ago. But it's a terrible road, and it is a high priority.
We got to take a break right now. The time, 10:39. Temperature outside is at 75 degrees. Our guest today, State Representative Mike Sparks, also Keith Bratcher and Richard Stegall, who are on the Highway Commission. And also with us is John Phillips, who had a son, Jonathan, who passed away in an accident that was on Jefferson Pike. That was about 6 years ago. Right now the time, 10:39, you're tuned to WGNS.
Shop directly from your farmer at the Rutherford County Farmers Market. Open each Tuesday and Friday from 7 a.m. until noon at the Lane Agripark Community Center on John R. Rice Boulevard. The Rutherford County Farmers Market is this area's producer-only farmers market, working hard to connect customers with their farmers since 1975. Meet your farmer and your neighbor at the Rutherford County Farmers Market, Tuesdays and Fridays, 7 a.m. until noon, at the Lane Agripark, down from Sam's.
I've got pets.
AmeriCare Services Incorporated, family-owned and operated for residential and commercial customers, we offer a full range of services. Our services include one-time, monthly, and quarterly pest control, termite control, moisture and fungus control, automatic foundation vents, and more. Licensed, insured, and bonded for your protection. 893-7111.
All the best of the best.
AmeriCare Services Incorporated.
Hello, I'm Jimmy Evans, and I own EvansAutoExchange.com. We sell $15,000 and under vehicles at less than 50% of what they cost new. Somebody else has already taken the depreciation for you. We have excellent financing rates, rates as low as 2%. Yes, 2%. 895-6990, EvansAutoExchange.com. Or come see us on Broad Street next to the Harley dealer in the borough.
There's no excuse for the mess in Washington. I'm Jim Tracy, and I'm running for Congress in the Republican primary. Early voting begins July the 18th. Visit tracyfortn.com for hours and locations for early voting in your county. That's tracyfortn.com, and vote starting July the 18th.
Paid for by Jim Tracy for Congress, Shane Reeves, Treasurer.
I'm Jim Tracy, and I approve this message. Let's get new people in and get our country back on track.
I'd like everyone to come in and see our newly designed showroom.
Doug Young at City Tile.
We've got a beautiful selection of ceramic tile, hardwood, carpet, vinyl floors.
Visit City Tile and Floor Covering on South Spring Street next to the Vine Street Fire Hall. Online at citytile.net.
We've got a design staff that can help you put together something to make your house a beautiful home. We want to make your house a wow house instead of, oh, that's nice.
Southern Community Bank, unlike all the rest.
I'm Sandra Mason. Do you feel like you've lost that local hometown feeling with your bank? Did you start out with a hometown bank that now has a new name? Are you tired of a bank where no one knows your name? Come by Southern Community Bank. Stop in to get personal, unlike all the rest service. We are your personal hometown banker.
Southern Community Bank, 1950 Old Fort Parkway, next to Doubletree. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
A message from Mike Huckabee.
He's been your governor, university president, America's Secretary of Education. He brought the automobile industry to Tennessee. Lamar Alexander is now a remarkable senator that Tennessee needs to return to office. Oh, and for anyone who wants to pick a fight with Lamar for supposedly not being conservative enough, well, you might want to pick a fight with me first.
I'm Lamar Alexander, candidate for U.S. Senate, and I approve this message. Paid for by Alexander for Senate 2014.
Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
Time right now is 10:43. I'm Scott Walker sitting in for Brian. Brian just had his gallbladder removed, which doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun, I don't think. But his wife, Heather, texted me and said he is doing fine after surgery, so that is some good news there. Our guest today, Keith Bratcher and also Richard Stegall, both with the Rutherford County Highway Commission, also State Representative Mike Sparks, and also with us, John Phillips, whose son, Jonathan, died about 10 years ago. Now, earlier during the break, I said 6 years ago, but it was closer to about 10 years ago. And he died in a car accident that was on Jefferson Pike. And we've been talking about Jefferson Pike and how that road is soon going to be widened. Mike, how did all this talk of it actually getting widened start? Or maybe Keith, how did this all get started?
Well, like John said earlier, and even Dick, he's probably the longest member on the road board right now. You know, it's kind of been an ongoing thing. I just know when I ran for Highway Commission back in 2002, Jefferson Pike was on a lot of people's mind all up and down through there, which during my time I tried to explain to them that, you know, that was a state route. But I would do, you know, all that I could do from my position to try to bring it to the attention of state reps and send it to, you know, try to move things forward on that. But the main thing is, just like John had said earlier, there's been so many accidents and so many things on this. This really got even the people in his area calling their reps and calling their state representatives to get it going. But I think in the last, like I say, I know when I, in 2002, that's that was kind of been a mission of mine, as far as taking the, make sure the constituents' roads in the county were taken care of. But this is, like I say, all of Jefferson Pike's in my area, so it's been something I've been passionate about to bring it to the attention of us. You know, usually the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and I found out. So just saying that, Mike, since he's became the rep in that area, and plus his influence been on the State Transportation Committee, has he has really been influential in seeing this project through. And like I say, we have met many times with the engineers from the state and all up and down Jefferson Pike, and they were definitely aware of what needed to be done. I think a lot of it, and Mike can elaborate more on this, but you know, it's all about the funding. So,
well, you could share that we met last, that project you were talking about in front of Dollar General. You want to elaborate about that?
Yeah, there was a if you're familiar with even 231 out there, when you come down 231, you know, the state come in there several years ago and built a new bridge, widened the bridge. But when you come over the bridge and you, before you approach Jefferson Pike, it narrows back down to a two lane, and they've added the Dollar General store and a few things in that area, which has caused a lot of you know, there's been a lot of accidents when it bottlenecks down right there. But I had met Mike and some representatives from the State Transportation Committee back last year, and we were trying to figure out what's the best thing to do and how to do things so to improve that situation, that road situation. But anyway, they have been very responsive, all in that area, and like I say, it comes down to really a lot of funding. Yeah. But I think not only from us in Rutherford County, I think it's been an effort of the folks in Smyrna and the county too. So it's been a joint effort of everyone, along with anybody from the state and everybody that lives out in that area. So.
Well, you know, during the commercial break, you guys were just rattling off all these different accidents that have occurred. You talked about a Mustang Cobra where there was a father and son in that car. The father passed away in that wreck. You talked about an overturned dump truck, and the driver of that died in a wreck.
Yeah. I wanted to elaborate on one thing that they had brought up earlier when they were talking about the landfill. I know we met, and I met over the years, the last several years, I met with a bunch of the officials there and trying to improve the things on Jefferson Pike. One of the things was what was happening a lot was the traffic on it, the trucks that were coming into to the landfill out there at Allied Waste. We had met with them back a long time ago. I know myself and some of the officials out there, and we got them to agree to not come down Jefferson Pike. In other words, they were coming off of 840 onto Jefferson Pike. At that end and coming on down to the landfill, what we asked them to do and they agreed to do was to go on down 840 and as much as they can and get off at the Speedway exit.
Yes.
And take the Speedway exit and come down 231. So, you know, try to keep that truck traffic off of Jefferson Pike as much as possible. Now, you're going to see some of those trucks on Jefferson Pike. They've got to, because they've got to service their customers. I understand that. But a lot of the big trucks, they did agree to take 840 on down to the Speedway exit and come 231. So we've tried to take as much of that big traffic off that road as we possibly can.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, Jefferson Pike is known as what? State Route
266.
266. Mm-hmm. Well, according to this report that I see here, and this was probably I don't know, published in 2010 maybe, I'm not sure, but it says State Route 266 at Nissan Drive, there's been 11 crashes. At Gill Street, 10. Old Jefferson Pike, 10. Sharp Springs Road at Jefferson Pike 10,
yeah.
Harbor Drive 5, Hickory Grove Road 5, and near State Route 840, there's been 16 traffic crashes there.
Yeah, and that's about 3.5 miles right there.
That's crazy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's how bad it is.
And then it tells how many injuries were in each one. It does not list the fatalities, but so many people have been hurt there.
Yeah.
On Jefferson Pike. I mean,
I was talking with a friend of mine, Tom Seed. He lives across the street from me. And, you know, we put that little event together last week at Smyrna Assembly Hall. Had Ernie Johns speaking to Marty Luffman. And we were talking about Jefferson Pike. That came up. And I remember Tom telling me he can remember being on his tricycle. This sounds crazy. Being on his tricycle at Mona, riding on Jefferson Pike on his tricycle when he was like 5 years old. He said, because there was nothing out there. Then it was just, but he said, Mike, you got to remember, I'm 80 something years old, you know. But one thing I wanted to share with y'all is TDOT, we, you know, sometimes you hear people kind of, I'm not saying put down the state that we're number 48th in this or that, but we are number one when it comes to roads. And that's something to be proud of. We still have a lot of work to do. The Federal Highway Trust Fund basically was going to be insolvent next month, and they have some temporary fixes for that funding that will last until February. But these are the serious times that we're in as a country. So we have to look for ways to do more with less and be resourceful. But the TDOT help trucks, a lot of folks see them in Nashville, and they do a lot of good work. Early this year, I had broke down, had a water pump go out. And I tell you what, one of them trucks pulled up within 5 minutes. Help me just get some water. And I just said, look, if you just help me get some water in here, I'll drive to General Assembly. I mean, I was running late, you know, and I just got some water in there. And man, I took off and I made it, you know, car didn't overheat or anything. But those guys, I remember the commissioner shared a story with him when I first got elected up there. There was a guy that run a TDOT help truck, got killed, got crushed, and pulled over to help somebody. And somebody ran off and hit the truck, crushed him. That guy was at a first responder at September 11th. He was in Afghanistan, served over there. And I think what touched the commissioner is when he found out about it, he thought, you know, that guy gave his life for $23,000 a year. That's all that guy made, $23,000. And I remember the story of him telling me that, you know, he brought them all in the office. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this, but brought them all in the office. And he said, you know, I'm gonna meet with you. And this guy's, you know, really a just down to earth guy. And he says, something like, hey, I hate to do this to you, but looks like I'm going to have to give you a 15% pay raise. And those guys thought they were losing their jobs. You know, a couple of them did. And those guys were so tickled to get a pay raise. But TDOT employees, they don't make a lot of money. They put their life on the line just like a paramedic or a firefighter or a police officer does. And in some, you could argue it may be more dangerous. The last tour I was with the commissioner, we were driving down the road, and he showed me, and he had a text that he had gotten that was showed me a picture of a highway patrol car that was banged up and a dump truck that was tore up, or one of their service trucks. Two guys were killed. That he said, Mike, just last night we had two guys killed out in the Knoxville area, and a trooper was hurt. They were TDOT contract workers. It's a dangerous area, you know.
I agree. I hate to cut you off, but we're already out of time. Right. But I do appreciate all of y'all joining us this morning. And also, I did want to say that of those wrecks, the 66 I just highlighted, according to the report I just saw, that was over only a 3-year period.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's right.
And I will post all that information along with the audio of this broadcast on our website so people can download those statistics as well.
Yeah. Thanks, Scott. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us this morning. Right now, the time, 10:53, you're tuned to WGNS. We're going to have death notices coming your way next. After that, local news and also ABC News.
I'm Randy Boland from Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street between Highway 840 and Thompson Lane. Me and my staff treat people the way we would like to be treated when shopping for fishing, hunting, or shooting supplies. Murfreesboro Outdoors, open Monday through Saturday from 9 to 6 on Northwest Broad Street.